God bless you today, beloved. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, man, if you get a revelation of that scripture and the understanding of it, this is the day of our salvation. Today, behold, today is the day of our salvation. Not tomorrow. It's not coming in the future. We're not looking in the sky for it to show up. It is right now. He's already conquered death. He's already conquered Satan. He's already done the work. He's already defeated and crucified the life of Adam. Praise God. So we can walk in the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the day of your salvation, brother and sister. This is the day. Amen. You don't have to wait. I know that sounds crazy, but it's the day. You got to start believing what he's done, what he's accomplished. Amen. Let me touch on something I said yesterday. It's very, very important that we are discerning of what Jesus we are believing in. When I said in the devotion that many of us Christians are in danger of hell, I meant it. And some people got their feathers ruffled by that. It's like, man, what do you mean by that, man? As long as I believe in Jesus, you know, it doesn't matter what I do, as long as I believe in Jesus. But here's the problem. What if you're believing in a different Jesus? I mean, look at this scripture that Paul says. If someone comes to you and preaches another Jesus, another gospel, what if you're believing in a Jesus that's not the Jesus of the Bible? Now, most people I know that receive the devotions, that's not the case. But it is the case for many, many, many people. They're receiving a different Jesus. It's not the Jesus that Paul preached. It's not the cross. They're receiving a totally different Jesus. I call one of the Jesuses that's being preached, I call him the therapeutic Jesus. If you receive the therapeutic Jesus rather than the biblical Jesus, you are not saved. The therapeutic Jesus says, I love your life. I want to embrace it. I think so highly of you. It doesn't matter what you do. I accept you just the way you are. And he's your buddy, you know, and you can't wait to jump in Daddy God's lap and all these things. And when you really talk to these people who are believing these things, first of all, most of them are drinking, fornicating, doing all kinds of things. And they say, well, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial, you know, and all of us come short. And they go partying and doing all kind of crap. They don't know him. They've never known him. They have no life inside of them. They're deceived. They're tricked. They've been given a Jesus that's not the Jesus of the Bible. Now, Christians, on the other hand, if you truly came to God at some point, genuinely, where you despised your own life, I still remember it, 19 years old. I mean, I came to God a million times before that and said a million prayers. Every time I went to jail, every time I went to rehab, which was, I think, 9 times. I went to jail 7 and rehab twice. Every time I went, I'd be praying, Lord, please save me. Please forgive me. And as soon as I got back out, it may take a week or two, but I'd be right back into the same mess I was in. Why? Because I didn't reject my life. I just wanted God to get me out of trouble, man. I want to get out of jail free card. I wasn't walking with Christ. I didn't give my life to Christ. But if you've been born again, if you've ever really metanoeo, repented, and perceived everything differently because of the cross, and come to Christ Jesus with a genuine heart and receive genuine salvation, then yes, you may fall into sin, but you're not going to go to hell. You can be destroyed because of sin. You could go through hell here because of sin. But unless you reject Jesus after that, you're not going to go to hell. But I want you to listen to something because it's very important. I even wrote a big paper on the book of Hebrews, the warnings of the book of Hebrews, because a lot of genuine born-again Christians have been reading Hebrews chapter 6, for example, and they begin to fear because it says once you've tasted of the heavenly gift of his righteousness, if you go back to sin, you cannot be renewed to repentance. And a lot of people think, oh my goodness, you know, I backslid for a while, so I can't get saved now. And that is not what it's talking about. All those warnings in Hebrews are to the Hebrews. And they're telling the Hebrews, the Jews, that's what a Hebrew is, do not go back to the weak and miserable principles of the law. What is the principle of the law? The principle of the law, or the principles of the law, are this: If you will do this, then you will be saved. If you will do this, then you will be blessed. If you will do this, and so it's all dependent on what you can perform and what you can do. Now listen, the Lord really has, when I was fasting and praying, he showed me, I've got to be very, very, very careful as a minister how I present things. Because listen, that warning may have been to the Hebrews, but watch this. He showed me many, many, many Christians have walked away from walking with Christ. And now if you ask them what the gospel is, they will tell you it's love God and love people. I try to do that. Amen. I try to do my best. And I go to church. I try to love God and I try to love people. That's the gospel. You know, listen, they're doing exactly what God warned in the book of Hebrews not to do. They are going back to the law. Now, let me show it to you. Jesus said the law is summed up. The entire law is summed up in this commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is the law. That is not the new covenant. It's the law. So any person who thinks that they can love God and love others and make it to heaven without walking in the life of Christ or believing in the real Jesus is being deceived. They've been lied to. They're going back to the law. I was talking to somebody recently, and I said, oh, okay, so love God and love others, right? I said, so do you love God? They said, oh, yeah, I love God. I said, do you love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength? They said, oh, yeah, praise the Lord. I love God with all my... I said, okay, are you doing anything that Jesus wouldn't do? And they just stood there silent for a second. They said, well, yeah, everybody is. You know, everybody, you know, does stuff Jesus wouldn't do. I said, do you know that Jesus is the only person who ever lived that loved God with all of his heart, all of his mind? Do you give your mind, does your mind love anything else? You love Netflix? You love pornography? You know, you love getting drunk? I mean, does your mind love even religion? You know, listen, there is none of us do good. None of us, absolutely none of us love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We can't. Even if we tried to, we couldn't do it. And none of us love our neighbor as ourselves. None of us invite our enemies to our dinners. We invite our friends. We invite those we agree with. We don't even want to be around those we disagree with. Why? Because our life is not his life. And so watch this. Anybody who thinks that if I love God and I love others, I'll make it to heaven, Satan has lied to them. They've walked away from Christ, just as Hebrews warned not to do. And they've went back to the principles, the weak and miserable principles of the law. Don't go tell people if you love God and love others, you'll go to heaven. Don't tell anybody. That's not the gospel. That is not the gospel. That is the law. And you can't accomplish that. And it's so amazing to me how deceived that people have become. They have no foundational understanding of the cross and what it really means. As a matter of fact, another Jesus that's being preached, you know, the Jesus that loves your life. You know, I talked about the therapeutic Jesus, but there's a lot of people that are preaching Jesus did not go to the cross to suffer your punishment under the wrath of God. It's called penal substitution, or the substitutionary sacrifice or atonement, that Jesus is the sacrificial lamb who took our punishment, who bore the wrath of God on our behalf so we don't have to. That is a major, that is the foundation of the true gospel. And you would be shocked how many Christians are rejecting this. I remember one I know, a friend, you know, I went to their church and preached, and I was talking to him on Facebook. That's one of the reasons I got off Facebook. God told me, get off of there. That is not the place for you. And I'm talking to him on Facebook, trying to explain to him the cross and the real gospel. And he literally said, my God didn't have to beat up my Jesus to love me. And it sounded wonderful and revelatory. He was thoroughly deceived and mocking the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And he doesn't even know he's doing it because he's received a totally different Jesus than the one the Bible preaches. He's received a Jesus that embraces his carnal life. He goes out, drinks all the time. He does all kinds of things. And he says, hey, we're free, man. We're not under the law. And he's received a totally different Jesus than the Bible preaches. So Paul says here, he said, be very cautious that you don't believe in and receive a different Jesus or a different gospel than I delivered to you. So we have to get it. The reason God gave us the word is to protect us. We need to get in the word and find out what Jesus Paul preached. The things that Paul preached, people aren't believing anymore. Paul said, I know there's no good thing in me. And people are rejecting that idea now. People are rejecting the idea that we have to deny ourselves. People are rejecting the idea of real holiness and purity. Why? Because they've tried and they failed and they tried and they failed. And so now they've wrangled the word and twisted it to comfort themselves in their iniquity. And the problem is they're trying. The problem is they're not believing what he accomplished. The problem is they're not believing what he says about them, what he says about God. They're not believing that because mankind has taken the word and they've twisted it to try and make it acceptable to the natural mind. Now let me close this because this will get too long. What we do, every one of us, and I've done it, and God showed me how I've done it. And man, I wept and wept and prayed, you know, thank God for his forgiveness and mercy. But I've said this before. This is not accurate. I've said that God doesn't send anybody to hell. God doesn't put anybody in hell. We put ourselves there. I've said something along those lines. And the reason that I've said stuff like that is it helps the natural mind to be able to handle that truth. Otherwise, when we think about these concepts, it's hard for our natural mind to accept them. And many people have walked away from God because they just can't understand those kinds of, I can't, hell. And so what we do is we try to soften it up just a bit. We try to change it just a little bit so that our natural mind and other people's natural mind can handle it. And now the Lord took me to a scripture, or a couple scriptures. The natural man does not understand or receive the things of the Spirit. It is impossible for him to do so, for they are spiritually discerned. Romans, that for the natural man, the natural mind is enmity against God. It cannot subject itself to God. It can't do it. It can't understand the things of God. So watch what we've done. We have taken and tried to do something impossible with God's word. We've tried to make it acceptable to the natural mind. And we are never to do that. The reason God's word is straightforward and hard to understand, it's because its power is in that warning. Its power is in that word to frighten a person on purpose so that they will see the truth and understand the truth. And what happens is we have softened it up so much that people are not being born again. Listen, I've been in churches now since I quit pastor. I haven't seen anybody born again at all. Nobody's getting saved. Nobody. They all believe in the Jesus that loves me the way I am. They all believe that God loves me and has a plan for my life. It's not the gospel. And they all believe, well, we're supposed to try to love God and love others. It's not the gospel. None of them are really repenting. None of them are perceiving everything differently after the cross. None of them are coming to an altar. None of them are weeping. None of them are finding out how wicked they are and turning to God for a new life. They're not doing it. Why? Because they're not being told that that's what they need to do. They're being told that God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. And it's all a false Jesus. It's not the Jesus Paul preached. So when I'm talking about many of us Christians, especially in America, and now around the world, this stuff is spreading. In Africa right now, the churches are being devastated by prosperity preachers, and it may make somebody mad. I love Kenneth Hagin. You know, Kenneth Hagin, before he died, he wrote a book called The Midas Touch. It was a rebuke of all of those who took his revelations and tried to use it to say everybody can get rich. It's not what he was preaching. What he was he wasn't preaching, if you obey God, you get a Learjet. He wasn't preaching that. He was preaching that God will meet every need we have if we'll seek His kingdom and His righteousness. We don't have to be afraid of anything. He will prosper us and meet our needs and take care of us. It's not talking about He'll make you rich and give you earthly riches, you know. And so many of the revelations he had, I love it. E.W. Kenyon, wow, man, powerful. That's really the foundation that Hagin, you know, had. E.W. Kenyon, wonderful, you know, teachings. They weren't perfect. That's why Kenneth Hagin wrote a book before he died. He knew it wasn't perfect, and he knew people took it the wrong way, and he knew he said some things that weren't exactly the way he should have said them. So before he left this world, he wanted to get some things straight, and he wrote The Midas Touch because he didn't want to stand before God, you know, having, you know, told people things that weren't true. So, friend, we've got to be cautious in these last days because even the elect, if possible, be deceived. There is so much twist and deception going on in the body of Christ. And there's a Jesus being preached that is not the Jesus of the New Testament. So I want to encourage you, listen, do not change the word for yourself or for anybody else. Always say it like it says. Let me get back and I'll close real quick. I used to say, well, you know, it's not really God that sends you to hell. It's you that sends you to hell. Listen. The Bible is very clear. God is the one that assigns people to hell. I know we don't like to say it. We say, well, it's their sin that is. God is the one. No one at the white throne will volunteer to go to hell. God is going to put people in hell that did not know the gospel, that didn't believe the gospel, that didn't believe in Jesus. They reject it. He's going to put them in hell, even if they went to church, even if they believed in a different Jesus. You know, they're going to hell. And they're not putting themselves in hell. God is putting them in hell. I'm not saying go around and say God's putting people in hell. No, say what the scripture says. Say what Jesus said and don't water it down. Jesus said, don't be afraid of him who can kill the body. Don't be afraid of man who can kill the body, but has no power over your soul. But fear the one who can not only kill the body, but has power to put the soul in hell. I've heard people say he's talking about Satan. Listen, Satan has no power to assign you to hell. That's God. He's the judge. At the great, great white throne judgment, we don't see Satan seated on the throne deciding who goes where. No, it's God. It's God who has the books. It's God who makes the decision. So we need to say what God says. Don't water it down. Don't change it. Don't twist it. Don't even change a single word of it. Just say what he says and trust him with the results. And you say, yeah, but when we really, you know, look at the Bible, it's terrifying. And if you say what he says, you know, people, they get into this mental anguish. And we don't want people to have that. You know what that is? That's human empathy. Human empathy is often very satanic. It is often satanic. What it does, it wants to help people to feel better about themselves. Oh my God. It wants people to feel better about life. And it, listen, the reason we don't feel good is because the Creator of all things has subjected us to frustration. It's not the devil. God has subjected us to frustration and because he wants to deliver us from our bondage to decay and bring us into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Oh, man. Thank God for the frustration. Thank God for the anxiety. Thank God he allows these things, the anxiety and the depression, the satanic attacks. Thank God he allows it. Why? If he doesn't, we will never be delivered. If he doesn't, we won't press into the real thing. We won't find the real thing. This is going way too long here, but God bless you, man. It's not too long, but if you don't want to listen, you don't have to. But my God, if you don't hear anything else this year, hear this. Don't believe in a different Jesus. Don't twist God's word. His word is marvelous and wonderful, and grace is real, and grace is true, and all of the things in the word of God are true. But if we're believing in a different Jesus, we're going to walk in anxiety. We're going to walk in stress. We're going to walk in fear. We're going to walk in depression. I guarantee whenever you really find out the truth and enter into it, you'll be free. You'll be free. You need to keep pressing in. God does not want you riddled with anxiety. He doesn't want you to have to take Drugs. Think about it. We take people and we counsel them and we give them drugs and try to get them to feel better about themselves and life. When all the while God's trying to deliver them through all that troubles, He's trying to show them, don't walk in your own life. Come find out. Come to me. Come to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus is the deliverer. When you touch Him for real, you're healed, friend. When you touch Him, you're delivered. So if you're not delivered, you're not touching Him for some reason. It's not because He doesn't care about you. It's not because He doesn't love you. It's because He does love you that you're facing these things. He does love you. He wants to bring you into all of His kingdom and all of His power and all of His righteousness and all of His glory. And He doesn't want anything less for you, praise God. So hallelujah, man, let's believe in the real Jesus. How do I believe in the real Jesus? How do I keep from being deceived? Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word. Read what Paul taught about the cross, about the gospel, about your life, about his life. Read what he taught, because it is the Apostle Paul. Paul said, on the day of judgment, God will judge you based on my gospel. That's what Paul said. He's going to judge us based on my... Why? God chose the Apostle Paul to deliver to us the in-depth message of the cross and what the new covenant is. He chose him specifically to do that. Took him to heaven and showed him the gospel and then sent him with that gospel to mankind. And so Paul says, if somebody preaches a different gospel than I've preached to you, than we preached, than I received from God, do not have anything to do with them. We must keep in the Word and believe in the Jesus that Paul preached. Believe in the Jesus of the Bible. Believe in the things that he's saying. Understand them. And then understand the new covenant and how to enter into this life of Jesus. The life of Jesus is the only thing that can fulfill God's righteous requirement. It's his life. It's his life. Now, God's not looking for you to produce something. He's not looking for perfection in your human life. He crucified you. He's not looking for anything from you besides for you to believe in the truth and look to him. And listen, if you believe the truth, you'll reject you. If you believe the truth, you won't want you anymore. If you believe the truth, you'll be so thankful that he crucified you. And you'll look to this life of Jesus as your everything. Oh my goodness, may God give you grace to really enter into the power of the kingdom of God. Friend, I believe we're supposed to be raising the dead. And we can't even quit doing drugs and all these kind of crazy things that people are doing. Man, unbelievable. And we're supposed to be raising the dead, casting out devils, healing the sick, you know, going and preaching to the world. Amen. This powerful gospel of what he's actually accomplished. So God bless you this year, and may he bring you into the power and the glory of God as you believe what he's accomplished and confess that and look to his cross and bring every thought captive to it so that the Holy Ghost can reveal to you the truth and you can get out of that life of Adam that's torturing you and tormenting you and learn to yield and walk in that life of Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, praise God. God bless you today in Jesus' name.